Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us to try and make sense of gun violence versus gun ownership is Andrew Sutar, who's a member of the South African Arms and Ammunition Collectors Association. Andrew, a very warm welcome to you this Wednesday afternoon.
Well, good afternoon and thank you.
Andrew, this topic is never going to go away. It's one of those topics that gets raised every time there's a shooting. In America, it's very topical again at the moment because of the shooting in Sacramento on Monday where 6 people lost their lives. South Africa, every day we have shootings. In the early hours of this morning, 2 security officers lost their lives. And it was pointed specifically because of the fact that they were carrying weapons. It made them more of a target. Let's talk about gun violence versus gun ownership in South Africa. How do we define this? Because there's this a lot of misconceptions out there.
Well, Chad, there's a very clear distinction between gun ownership and gun violence. And it's very seldom that you encounter gun violence or misuse of firearms by legitimate licensed gun owners. The crimes are invariably committed by people who don't have legitimate firearms. They're illegal firearms. And, you know, one can address this by starting with the source of those illegal firearms. There's no question that a large percentage of them come from the police themselves, the military, particularly those used in violent cash and transit heists and the like. There's sophisticated weaponry in their hands that's not available to the private citizen.
So, Andrew, you and I are not laymen when it comes to firearm ownership. A lot of people out there don't quite understand the process, how protracted it is and how complicated it is to be a lawful firearm owner in South Africa. And government will always come out with statistics that say, yes, but firearms in the home contribute to GBV. They contribute towards accidental discharge. Those people themselves become targets because of their firearms by these sophisticated gangs. Yet we know for a fact that when one looks at a heist, the kind of weapons that are being used are not weapons that are licensed to individuals. Those weapons, like you rightly said, if they didn't come from hidden arms caches or from conflict zones across the border, the majority of those weapons did in fact originate out of the police and the army. How do we then educate the public about the importance of self-defense, the right to self-preservation, which I believe is a constitutional right?
Well, I'm fully in agreement with you that it's a constitutional right. We have some of the most stringent gun laws in the world. There are an enormous number of obstacles placed in the path of the legitimate gun owner in South Africa. That includes training. It includes secure storage. There are very few countries where they have the same requirements. And my experience has been that the South African licensed gun owner is unquestionably one of the most law-abiding citizens to be found. You know, you see antisocial behavior in other countries that you don't experience amongst legitimate gun owners in this country. They won't overstep the mark for fear that they could get a criminal charge against them and be deprived of their weapons. And there's many a situation that I know of that legitimate gun owners have walked away from confrontation, knowing they've got the means to defend themselves, but not willing to risk their gun ownership for confronting a drunk or an antisocial, aggressive individual.
So, Andrew, how do we dispel this myth that licensed and legitimate gun owners are in the minority when it comes to gun violence in South Africa? In fact, they contribute towards environment of safety and security where it's not just in terms of the trainee, but in terms of the way they conduct themselves and educate those around them, the importance of gun safety and the importance that comes with carrying a firearm, either in self-defense or for sporting or for collection. Do you think the government is doing enough to educate the public, or do you think that government has an agenda to try to disarm the public?
Not a shadow of doubt that elements of the government have an anti-gun agenda, and it's control. Anti-gun agenda is fueled internationally, financed internationally. Gun-free South Africa, for example, when last I looked, they had an award of 75 members or so. The Hunters Association, in contrast, has an order of 40,000 members, but they have an undue influence, and you can draw your own conclusions as to how they derive that influence. And it's certainly not democratically based. And I think the government opened a hornet's nest with its latest move to ban guns, because 30 years ago, guns were the exclusive preserve of the white, or electric, as you can call it. I've no doubt that the majority of firearms are owned in proportion to the racial representation in the country. And there was suddenly a huge backlash that the government did not expect from their own electorate. We've also seen various studies that have been done on the anti-gun lobby that are very poorly researched and entirely lacking in the fundamental academic principles of research documents. One of the more interesting ones was a study done by BITS Research Unit, which was not flawed, and it actually upheld the principle of legitimate gun owners being law-abiding citizens, and the government did their best to bury that. With a similar situation, Jenny Irish Kobushani, who was the Secretary of Police 2011 to 2013, she was longer, but she was tasked to reform the Central Firearms Registry and the whole issue of gun ownership in South Africa.
And we know where that landed up. Andrew,
her report was buried.
It's unbelievable.
It cannot be accessed.
Well, Andrew, this is a debate that is going to continue, especially considering 2022 is an elective conference for the ANC, and their leadership is going to have to make a decision on their way forward. But it's a very unpopular subject amongst a lot of people, but it's a very important subject considering the role that guns are playing in the prevention of crime, yet conversely, they are being used to commit crime. I'm looking forward to chatting to you again sometime during the course of this year so we can see where this lobby lands up, and with a bit of hope, perhaps there will be a coming together of minds and a just solution will be found. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Andrew.